So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's given us so many wonderful gifts. His words as a Vaishnava, he dies to live and living spreads the holy name. Thou art living still in sound. That Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is still with us with his wonderful instructions, his beautiful bhajans, songs that he's given us. And of course he's, I think in the captions of his pictures they give that he instituted the system for an international society of devotees like that. Not actually reinstituted, we should say that, because that is going on from the time of Lord Chaitanya, Vishva Vaishnav, Raja Sabha, Jiva Goswami like that, and so many others, Goswamis of Vrindavan. So I didn't have actually too much time to prepare. I have also very fallen and say, I have to say something about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's very difficult. Such a great personality in our line. I want to do a I found something very interesting there in the Harmonist magazine that was published by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It doesn't actually give credit, but most likely, almost for sure, it was written by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on Thakur Bhaktivinoda. That's the title of the article. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the editor of the magazine. Of course, on the cover it says this Harmonist was established by Thakur Bhaktivinoda in 1879 AD. Harmonist magazine. Or Sri Sajjana Toshini. Sajjana Toshini means the pleasure of the devotees. Sajjana. says Ashesha Klesha Vishleshi Paresha Vesha Sadhini Jiyadesha Parapatri Sarva Sajjana Toshini. Gives one relief from all sorts of distresses. So, anyway, Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I wanted to read something here. This is the viewpoint of the acharya, of another acharya. Very instructive for us. I thought this would be the best way of getting something substantial on this important day. So it starts out, it is not possible to understand Thakur Bhaktivinoda by disassociating him from Sri Chaitanya and his most illustrious followers and associates. He did not set up as an incarnation of God. He led to all external appearance the ordinary life of a householder. He did not claim any originality for himself in his writings, nor did he establish any new doctrine or practice. He only walked with a loyal heart in the path which has been followed by all former devotees and which is laid down in the Holy Scriptures, the meaning of which was made clear by the teachings and practice of Sri Chaitanya and his associates. His career is, therefore, perfectly simple in its purpose. Thakur Bhaktivinoda wrote as he lived. In his books, he tried to convey what, according to Sri Chaitanya, is the real meaning of the eternal religion that has come down to us in the records of the scriptures through the chain of preceptors. There would have been no necessity for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya if the scriptures had not been grossly misunderstood. There would have been no necessity for the life work of Thakur Bhaktivinoda if the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya and his associates had not been misunderstood and misstated. The position of Sri Chaitanya and his associates in regard to our ancient scriptures and of Thakur Bhaktivinoda as their loyal follower need not wound the susceptibilities of any reader who is not specifically opposed to our ancient scriptures. Thakur Bhaktivinoda's attitude should also appeal to all exact thinkers as being at best definite and free from ambiguity of method or object. Accordingly, the works of Thakur Bhaktivinoda can be profitably considered only by those who at best tentatively admit the validity of his general position. The scientifically critical attitude need not start on or proceed with the study of the subject with previously formed prejudices. We would therefore ask those who may study the works of Thakur Bhaktivinoda in the original not to form any conclusion on a large and unfamiliar subject before they have accorded him a patient hearing really free from bias. In the pages of the Harmonist, we have been trying to restate that Thakur Bhaktivinoda has told us in a comprehensive manner and from his own experience as a pure devotee of God in his numerous works. The kind heart of Thakur Bhaktivinoda keenly felt for the sufferings of man, and like a competent physician, was not satisfied till it could find out the very root of the disease that afflicted humanity all over the world. Once convinced of the nature of the disease and of the method of its real and permanent cure, he at once adopted the only way of helping others out of their misery by preaching those principles and practicing them himself in order to be able to realize from actual personal experience the truth that he was to preach. There's one of his books that he's written, Svalikita Jivani, is like an autobiography. Svalikita means written by himself, and Jivani means his life. So he's given very vivid description of some of his hardships that he experienced in his childhood. And his close family members also like that, brothers and sisters. So Thakur Bhaktivinoda became convinced as the result of unbiased study of the works of the associates of Sri Chaitanya and the old scriptures, following the method laid down in those works, that the words of Sri Chaitanya were nothing but the same language that he could hear God himself always speaking to his own heart. He has proclaimed this in no uncertain words in his writings, declaring Sri Chaitanya to be no other than the teacher who is ever present in the heart of everybody and constantly admonishing him from within. He pleads with pathetic deep earnestness that all may unreservedly believe in this statement, which he makes from his own personal experience and which is confirmed by all the scriptures he had studied. By listening to the voice from within, he believed that all would be bound to argue with him someday that the only way of bringing about real harmony in this world is that of chanting together the holy name in the manner that has been taught by Sri Chaitanya. His philanthropy was not confined to sect, creed, or country. His kindness extended unstintedly to the whole of animate and seemingly inanimate nature. He was confident that all religions will one day admit the supreme necessity of chanting the holy name and range themselves under the banner of Sri Chaitanya. Turning to his own countrymen, he implored them to have faith in the old institution of Varnashrama and to set about its re-establishment in a pure form. He has told us that the Varnashram institution is eminently fitted for the spiritual purpose and is superior to any other system that is to be found in the world, in this world. Even that time, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur preaches the importance of Varnashram, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Thakur and Bhaktisiddhānta. Its true significance was missed when it degenerated into a hereditary affair. This degeneracy, which characterizes the caste system, need not blind us to the merits of the real institution. It is the only machinery that is capable of purifying the heart of the people en masse, and all true patriots should think over this matter with an unbiased mind to be fully convinced of the immediate and imperative necessity of its re-establishment. All the problems of this country and of humanity awaiting solution can be settled by India if it simply reoccupies its spiritual position as featured by the Varnashram institution. All of us can obtain the necessary enlightenment on the subject from the teachings of Sri Chaitanya and his associates, as elaborated, we may add, with this special object in view in the writings of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Thakur Bhaktivinoda does not underestimate work or knowledge. He only warns us against work or knowledge divorced from relation to God. He condemns non-work and non-knowledge, which cut at the very bias of life. Was that Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wrote? Vairagya Vidya Nidya Bhakti Yoga Shikshartameka Purushaturana. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he advented to teach Vairagya Vidya. Vairagya means renunciation, and but what is that renunciation? That means not this non-work here or non-knowledge. Vairagya Vidya means knowledge. He is an advocate of the most strenuous work and of knowledge in every form on condition that they are pursued with a mind really alive to its relationship with God for the purpose of serving God therewith. It is Sri Chaitanya alone who can enlighten us about this relationship of the jiva with God. We must therefore most attentively listen to what he has to say on the subject. We must not jump to a definition of the kirtan of the holy name without hearing from the lips of devotees who alone are truly unbiased in this matter, what the kirtan that is proclaimed by Sri Chaitanya as the worship of this age of discord really means, and how it is related to work and knowledge. As a matter of fact, it is only by chanting the holy name in the manner laid down by Sri Chaitanya in conformity with the teachings of the whole body of the scriptures that we can be aroused to the true knowledge of our relationship with God, which is essential to the pursuit of word and knowledge, without which it is not possible to maintain our life in this world in a way that is not inconsistent with the highest purpose of life, that is, the service of God. To those who are opposed to organized sect in any form, Thakura Bhaktivinoda says that the so-called non-sectarians also form a sect of their own. It is necessary to follow and obey the devotees of God. This is possible only within an organization. It is not possible to lead a holy life by avoiding association with the devotees. Srila Prabhupada said that, repeated those words. It is not possible to lead a holy life by avoiding association with the devotees. The church offers a society of the good consciously pursuing a common spiritual purpose in place of one made up mostly of bad people who have no such purpose. The society of devotees is indispensable. By opposing this, not liberalism or non-sectarianism, but the anarchical, disruptive, egotistical sentiment alone is displayed. Instead of directing one's energy against principles of association, without which life in this world is impossible, it would be really profitable if we would seriously endeavor to purify the society and make it conform to the true principles. The sampradaya or church, thus understood, requires to be preserved and not abolished. Purity within the congregation will be secured by all its members abstaining on principle from sitting up as a preacher of religion without previous regular discipleship under a true devotee of God qualifying to such service. No one should preach the religion the truth of which he does not realize by his own practice. Those who, in imitation of the example of certain great devotees, betake prematurely to a life of solitary devotion are less useful to society than those who have set about preaching what they have learnt from sadhus and themselves actually practice the same in their own lives. Thakura Bhaktivinoda draws our particular attention to those texts of the scriptures that condemn trade in the name of religion. No one must on any account try to earn his livelihood by selling the word of God. There are 101 legitimate means of maintaining one's family approved by the scriptures that should be adopted for the purpose. It is denounced by the scriptures as an offense against God himself to become a preacher on hire. Most of the worst evils of all current religion are traceable to this source. The paid readers of the Bhagavad should be persuaded to adopt some other method of earning their livelihood. The abuse of diversion of religious endowments to secular purposes, including the maintenance of the family of the preacher, is strongly condemned by our scriptures and must be prevented by legislation, if necessary, as the very first step in the direction of reform of religion in this country and elsewhere. Dharma Prajitakaitya. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Cheating religion is immediately kicked out. So, anyway, it is these vested interests that have been the agents of religious corruptions in the past and are the official opponents of their removal at present. At the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, that was very prominent, the so-called movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was under the care of Kashyap Goswamis, Jati Gosais, and the, what was the other, Sahajas, huh? I'll say there's so many. Sahajas, yeah. So, yeah, this is, particularly they were giving Diksha as a, under being paid like that. Srila Prabhupada said this is one of the differences, that our Krishna consciousness movement is not charged for the instructions or the mantras like that. Because even in our the early days of the movement here in America, they had other groups that were selling mantras so you could become spiritual like that. But there was a difference that Srila Prabhupada didn't charge anything for any of his teachings or mantras. The same remarks applies to the mercenary gurus and dealers in mantras. The process is unscriptural, and there is, according to the same authority, not only no possibility of any benefit either to the person who practices such a trade or to one who submits to receive the mantra as a marketable commodity, but on the contrary, it constitutes a positive offense against the divinity and is therefore extremely harmful to such guru and disciple. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he set up the Namhatta, no? I mean, reinstituted Namhatta. And I haven't studied very carefully, but they printed some things about this Namhatta. I don't know, he wrote a whole, book or essay about what is Namhatta. He took the position of a sweeper in the marketplace to clean all the dust and all the debris and everything. And he said that the Namhatta means marketplace of the holy name. So, actually, just like the counterfeit coin like that, you have a real coin also. So you have real marketplaces there, whereas where they're selling actually the holy name of the Lord. But that price that one pays, that is not some kind of material thing that one has. That has that. What is that price that one pays?
Faith.
One has to have faith in the holy name, but he gives different coin values like that. And there's actually, based on authority like that, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes that, Shravagan Janahe Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhyam Kanishta Shraddha Anusari, that the one's advancement in devotional service is based on development of faith. So that is the price that one pays for this holy name of the Lord, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura. Not that we don't sell the holy name, but the commodities that it's being sold for is quite different than we have experienced within this world. These are also several other important points to which we have to attend if we want to preserve the purity of communal worship. Those who occupy the pulpit must not deviate from the true principles of the religion and indulge in promulgating the concoctions of their imaginations. No one is fit to be a teacher of religion who is not really free from any taint, from all taint of any ambition for popular applause or self-conceit. Thakura Bhaktivinoda warns everybody to be extremely cautious in the election of the spiritual guide. The preceptor must be fit in every way to instruct one in the true principles of religion. I think that comes from the original, in every way, is italicized for emphasis. that perception must be fit in every way to instruct one in the true principles of religion. The perceptor who initiates is to be implicitly obeyed and cannot be discarded except for two definite reasons. That is, one, if the disciple at the time of choice of preceptor failed to choose as his guru one who is ignorant of the principles of religion and is not a Vaishnava, that is, a true devotee of the Absolute, such guru has to be discarded for the reason that he is of no practical help. And two, if the preceptor, although he happened to be a Vaishnava and well versed in the principles of religion at the time when initiation was received from him, subsequently becomes a professor of illusionist doctrines or a hater of Vaishnavas, such a guru should also be discarded. Thakur Bhaktivinoda lays special stress on the avoidance of all association with ungodly persons. These ungodly persons fall broadly in two classes, that is, those who are carnally addicted to women, and two, those who are without devotion for Krishna. This is the instruction given by Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author, Krishna Das Kaviraj. Asat Sangatyaga Ivaishnavachara. It's Asat Sangatyaga Ivaishnavachara. Sri Sangha Eka Vaishnava Eka Bhakta. What is that? There will be absolutely no spiritual progress if such aloofness is not strictly maintained, despite the adoption of every other process that is recommended by the scriptures. The central topic of Thakur Bhaktivinoda's teachings is strict conformity with that of Sri Chaitanya. In strict conformity with that of Sri Chaitanya is the supreme importance, nay, the absolute necessity in this age of worship by the method of taking the holy name. Thakur Bhaktivinoda's special contribution to this all-important subject is his detailed treatment of every variety of offense that has to be carefully avoided if the name has to be taken in the proper manner. He describes the present corruptions of the Vaishnava Church, which professes to follow the teaching of Sri Chaitanya mainly to misunderstanding of this cardinal subject. The name coupled with offense is productive of perdition. The whole subject, perdition,
hell.
The whole subject is minutely treated in very simple language in his Sri Harinama Chintamani, which is a unique work in the whole range of literature and deserves to be translated into every language of the world. This article was written 1928, June 1928 to May 1929. It's in the first issue. It's a monthly magazine. So I guess it was either June or July 1928. So that book has been translated into English, and I don't know what other languages it's been translated into. Thakur Bhaktivinoda most strongly opposes the blasphemous practice of the public singing of the devotional amorous hymns by impious persons, and on the authority of the scriptures condemns those who encourage such practice by submitting to listen to such songs. Thakur Bhaktivinoda considers it essential that the spiritual Varnashram institution should be reestablished in this country and elsewhere for the benefit of people in general, as the status of a Vaishnava is not attainable by any except the spiritual Brahman. The Vaishnava is, however, above Varna and Ashram, which are again quite different from caste, in as much as the former serve a purely spiritual purpose, while the latter is a product of history and embodies purely distinctions of social grades based on birth. Thakur Bhaktivinoda distinguishes true humility from the caricature of it that ordinarily passes under its name. The humanity of the Vaishnava consists in carrying out the precepts of his religion without minding any worldly discomfort or dishonor to himself. He is prepared to give due worldly honor to everybody without having any interest of his own in such matters for their own sake. But he never defers to the judgment of any worldly person in the matter of religion. He is as tender as he is firm, but this is realizable only by one who himself possesses single-hearted devotion to Krishna. In preaching the true religion from door to door, despite of all manner of apparent personal discouragement and hardship, with a heart that overflowed with infinite kindness for suffering humanity, without distinction of caste, creed, or color. Thakura Bhaktivinoda set the ideal to his followers of true philanthropy that brings no evil in its train. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura ki jai. So I was also thinking that if we could request some of our esteemed audience that could give some their appreciations of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, to have some. If we have some time. Madan Mohan Prabhu.
Well, I was just thinking that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the whole Krishna conscious movement basically got restarted. You know, it was the one person who got the whole thing going again. And the son, of course, and then Srila Prabhupada. But if you look at, there's some discussions about what was the condition of Krishna consciousness when Bhaktivinoda Thakura was around, and he looked around. So basically, you're indebted so much because you can see what one pure devotee can do. Then you can see what another pure devotee does, and another pure devotee.
That's very nice. First Carpenter. First Carpenter.
Yeah, this is a quick one. Where was that quote from? I guess it's back in the text of record.
What I was reading?
Yeah.
This is from Harmonious Magazine. This is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura's, it was established by Thakura Bhaktivinoda in 1879 as Sajjana Toshini and re-established in English by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura.
So I guess he was speaking about Bhaktivinoda Thakura?
Yes. I assume that it's Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura's article. He doesn't give his name. Sometimes he does, actually, in the Harmonist magazine. Sometimes his name is found as the author of the article, and sometimes it's not given. But he's the editor, and at least he knows that he's approved it. And I think confidently we can say that this article was written by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura just because of the language, you can make your own
judgment. I thought it was good.
I thought it was it was a way of, because sometimes something is emphasized over another. I thought it was a very good way to get very comprehensive understanding of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura by reading this. Say Shri Guru. Sorry? Wow. Oh, sorry. Well, that's okay. Yeah, sorry. Excuse me.
I believe that Bhaktivinoda Thakura, when he was a young man growing up, he was ill, he had health problems, didn't he?
Yes, I think he had many health problems.
Yeah, health problems. you can see how throughout his life he has problems with his low body energy and or diffused in different ways. But we see his life as Mataji read at the beginning, how he dedicated every ounce of strength and time that he had. You know, those health challenges may have helped him, you know, develop the determination to channel all of his bodily energies and vitality to Krishna consciousness and study Krishna consciousness. So he's a good example of how to overcome obstacles in that way.
Yes, particularly as an acharya, he taught by example. He always he gave that example, very very wonderful point to me, that how he was always searching in his youth like that. He was always searching how to where was the absolute truth to be found. In his autobiography, Salikita Jivani, he elaborates on this, all of this different searchings for the absolute truth. It's not that he had some Vaishnava association in his youth like that, but he wasn't exactly born in a Vaishnava family exactly like that. Many followers of Shaktas were there in his family, and he didn't there's very stark admissions in his book like that, how he he developed this gradually, this process of devotional, came to the process of devotional service like that. Of course, he had many children, and he was a householder. Srila Prabhupada also showed the example of how householders, they can also become pure devotees of the Lord. But that mood of inquiry is always there. Tata Brahma Jigyasa, that he was always inquiring, searching. And I think particularly one example is that he had to search, he had to take great endeavor to find a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, to find out the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the philosophical. Anyway, sorry.
You mentioned his children. When Raghunath was reading, she read his selection by Lalit Kumar, and she said he later became Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Bimal Prasad became Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, not Lalit Prasad.
Yeah, Lalit Prasad was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's older brother, and he was our Achyutananda Prabhu. He visited the home of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the 60s, I guess it was 60s, yeah, and met this Lalit Prasad. Some of our other godmothers, they deviated and actually went and followed him like that, but they had some differences with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. But anyway, he was a great Vaishnava also, and lifelong brahmachari like that. There's a few. Srila Prabhupada also went and met this evening.
You already mentioned, but I was thinking about the CC, like, what would we do if we didn't have the CC? I mean, is this like, yeah. Another thing for me I really appreciate is the vast encyclopedia of bhajans that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written. It's just amazing, all the different moods that are described in his presence that one can actually chant and appreciate those presence. So that's something that I personally really appreciate. One comment was as far as what you read there in the harmonist. You said that this was written in what, 1928?
Yes.
So here, you know, we think this is right now, you know, in the 80s, 90s, now in the 2000s. But the same problem is there as far as organized religion. I thought that was very interesting that, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta is so much stressing on that aspect. So even in, you know, 100 years before, we see that the same problem is there. So I thought it was interesting.
Someone else? I think Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote in a couple of his books, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Krishna Samhita, about how the demons that Krishna killed represent different things. And he mentions about how Putana represented the unbona fide guru like that. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wrote a very long essay on that. Not very long, a couple pages like this. But he says that these organized religions he condemns them in many words like that. But here in this book, he also states that organized religions are required also for the welfare of humanity. Someone else?
Hare Krishna, thank you. I was just reading this morning from the seventh Goswami in the back. There's these tiny little chapters which talk about his character, his schedule, his writing. And just a little I remember from his schedule, he would go to bed really early. Exact time, 8:30 maybe, and get up at 10 or so, and he would write till like 4 in the morning. You know, he would start his chanting. But his efficacy, his efficiency with his time didn't stop there. When he went to court, he had a morning and an afternoon session, and he could make a judgment in 5 minutes, which would take other magistrates so much longer. He was generally appreciated for that, but then some people got envious.
We had opportunity to work on some of his books as translation of some of his books. Brain Pradeep was a little, very small novel, giving wonderful spiritual instructions. Jiva Dharma was a bigger book, but we didn't work on that one, but it's also in the form of a novel, giving wonderful spiritual instruction. Navadvipa Dhammahatmya, that actually he wrote in a couple of different parts. He wrote a very nice description of how Nityananda Prabhu takes Jiva Goswami around on a tour of Navadvipa. And say something? Holy names? Okay. Alright. Anyone else? We can offer our basis of the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, please.